Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Jesus love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high I can't get over it. So low I can't get under it. So wide can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to another very special Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Today we're celebrating a very important anniversary. It's the 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible. The King James Version, or the Authorised Version, was produced in 1611 at the instigation of King James VI of Scotland and I of England. Over the 400 years from 1611 to 2011, it has become the best-selling book ever. That's quite a record. When we think Bible, we probably have in our minds that big black book with no pictures, which is full of quaint old-fashioned words like thee and thou, begat and verily. That's the one. But there's much more to it than that. So let's take a closer look at it and see if we can appreciate it more and celebrate this priceless treasure. So let's go back in time to 1611, and even before that, to pick up the story. So we're celebrating the 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible. Here's a quick potted history of the Bible. It was written over a period of 1,500 years, from about 1400 BC to 100 AD. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. People thought of these as the two holy God-given languages, and it caused an outcry when Jerome translated the Bible into the vulgar language of his day, Latin, about the year 400. The Venerable Bede translated the Bible, or some of the Bible, into Anglo-Saxon in the 8th century. In 1384, there was the first full English Bible, translated by John Wycliffe. And then printing was invented around the year 1450. The first book ever printed was the Gutenberg Bible. In 1526, the first printed English New Testament by William Tyndale, who was burned alive at the stake in 1536 for his efforts. But his work laid the foundation for Bibles which followed. In 1536, there was the first printed whole Bible produced by Miles Coverdale, who used Tyndale's New Testament quite a lot. In 1537, there was Matthew's Bible, licensed by Henry VIII, 1539, the Great Bible, an official revision by Coverdale. In 1560, the Geneva Bible, by Protestant exiles in Geneva in Switzerland, folk like John Calvin and John Knox. This version of the Bible was very popular with Scottish Presbyterians and English Puritans. In 1568, the Bishop's Bible was a rival to the Geneva Bible. And in 1609, the Douai Rheims Bible came on the go, which was a Roman Catholic version. All of these were ingredients in the stew which we know now as the King James Version of the Bible. In 1601, the possibility of the King James Version was first spoken about in Scotland. In 1604, the project was started following the Hampton Court Conference. It took 50 leading scholars 7 years of work, from 1604 to 1611. They used a lot of William Tyndale's work and much of the Bible from Geneva. James VI and I, on a personal note, was born in Edinburgh in 1566, baptised in Stirling, and at the age of one was crowned King of Scotland. His mother, Mary Queen of Scots, was a very devout Roman Catholic, but she was in the minority in that respect. By the time James was 8, he could translate any verse of the Bible into French, Latin or English. Quite a wee scholar. Just 6 years before he was born, there was the world-changing Reformation of 1560. James's aunt, Mary's sister, Elizabeth I of England, was a Protestant, but she died in 1603, and James became King of England as well as of Scotland. Both countries were Protestant, and passions were running high over these issues. So that's the background to the emergence of the King James Version of the Bible. But that was just the beginning. The Bible has undergone many revisions and new translations since then. For example, in 1885, the English Revised Version. 1901, the American Standard Version, which became the RSV, or the Revised Standard Version, in 1952. That was the version I used when I was studying at university. In 1961, we had the New English Bible, which began its life in Stirling in Scotland, where I had my first charge. In 1966 came the Good News Bible, which is my own personal favourite version. 1978, the New International Version. I was presented with it in 1979 when I became a minister. 1982 saw the New King James Version. In 2001, the English Standard Version. And so the process goes on and on. Here's Ian White singing about the Bible.
Yeah. Colossians, Thessalonians, and Timothy's. If you're gonna run a race and win, you got to know where to begin. You need to learn about the Lord and start by reading His Word. Reading His Word. Titus and Philemon. Reading His Word. Hebrews and James. Reading His Word. The letters of Peter and John. Reading His Word. Jude and Revelation. If you're gonna run a race and win, you've got to know where to begin. You need to learn about the Lord. Start by reading His Word. Start by reading His Word. Start by reading His Word. Start by reading His Word.
So let's look at some favourite King James Version passages. Some Bible readings in church are enjoyed more than others by both the hearers and the readers. The King James Version was written to be read aloud in church. It's the only translation specifically written to be read aloud. Try it yourself in the house. You'll see it sounds far better when you read it aloud. Before the Reformation in 1560, Bibles were usually scarce and in Latin. Only the local priest had a copy. Then with printing and translation into English and a reformation in thinking, people all began to get their own copies and to read them and discuss them excitedly. Remember when you discovered the power and the comfort of Psalm 23, for example. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for ever. Here it is sung to its most famous tune, Crimond. Crimond's a little village in Aberdeenshire, about 7 miles from my home village in Verallachy. I was at the funeral of the Crimond minister. Guess what we sang in church that day?
Thank you.
was the Glasgow Phoenix Choir. At the most recent wedding which I conducted, I was specially requested by the bride and groom to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. No problem, I always do. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, and so on. This is my wife, Patricia Noble, singing her version of 1 Corinthians 13.
I may be able to speak in strange tongues. I may be able to prophesy. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have the power to raise the dead. But if I don't have love, it counts for nothing. If I don't have love, I do no good. If I don't have love, it counts for nothing. If I don't have love, I do no good. I may have the faith to move a mountain. I may give away everything I have. I may live a life which seems so perfect. I might even die the death of a martyr. But if I don't have love, it counts for nothing. If I don't have love, I do no good. If I don't have love, it counts for nothing. If I don't have love, I do no good. Lord, help me love, let me do some good.
The Israelites in the Bible were taken captive to faraway Babylon, modern-day Baghdad in Iraq. How could they sing happy songs to God when they were slaves in a strange land, with no access to their one and only temple back home in their beloved Holy Land? This is Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now there's a cue for a number one pop hit sung by Boney M. It was number one for about 10 weeks, if I remember.
Thank you. rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. Yeah, we wept when we remembered Zion. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yeah, we wept when we remembered Zion. Every king carried us away in captivity, required of us a song. Now how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange
Ian White has taken the 3,000-year-old lyrics of the Psalms and set them to his modern style of music. He's actually got 6 volumes of such music. Here is Psalm 139. Let me read it to you and then listen to Ian White sing it. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
Searched me and you know me. Know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my by going out and lying down. You are familiar with all my ways before a word is on my tongue. You know it completely, Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too high for me to attain. Where can I go? Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go the heavens, you are there. Or make my bed in the depths, you are there. Or rise on the wings of the dawn, or rest on the far side of the sea. Even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I see darkness will surely hide me, and light becomes night around me. Even the darkness won't be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Oh, 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 where can I go? Where can I go from your spirit? Together in my mother's womb, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are great. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place.
By the way, I've been reading from my own personal copy of the King James Bible. It was the second ever book which I received. I got it when I was just 7 years old. It had no pictures, was full of strange words, had 66 books, 1,500 pages and 1,189 chapters. But I resolved to read it all. I read one chapter per day for 3 years. That's 1,189 days. And finished it when I was aged 10. The power of perseverance and biting off manageable bites. The King James Version of the Bible has been with us for 400 years, and in that time has given rise to many expressions which we use in daily speech. Did you realise that these are King James Version quotes? Sour grapes, the skin of our teeth, salt of the earth, you Judas, a doubting Thomas, a Job's comforter, there's no peace for the wicked, the wisdom of Solomon, the patience of Job. Filthy lucre, eat, drink and be merry. Love thy neighbour, go the second mile. Well, let's celebrate the 400th anniversary of the 1611 King James Version, or authorised version of the Bible. It's still going strong. So bye for now, and I'll leave you with Ian White, who's put the Psalms and their 3,000 years lyrics into his own modern style. So I'll leave you with him singing Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm of all and is actually the exact middle of the Bible. And it's a song celebrating Holy Scripture.
Your word, Lord, is a light to guide me on the path. A promise made I'll keep, to follow your commands. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my willing praise and teach me all your laws. Though constantly in danger, I'll not forget your law. The wicked set a snare for me, but still I did not fall. The joy of all my heart, your ways, Lord, are for me. And to the very end, I'll follow your decrees. May you hear my cry, O Lord. Give me wisdom by your word. May my prayer be heard by you. By your pledge, deliver me. Let my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word. Your commands are right and true. May your hand be there to help me. I have chosen what is right. I long for your salvation, Lord, and your law is my delight. Let me live to praise your name. May your statutes make me new. For though I may have strayed, I have not forgotten you. May your hand be there to help me. Help me choose, Lord, what is right. I long for your salvation, Lord, and your law is my delight. Let me live to praise your name. May your statutes make me new. For though I may have strayed, I have not forgotten you. I have not forgotten you.